everybody. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to check out our other great shows and content on Patriots.com. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to Do Your Part. I am your host, Angelique Fisk. This is meant to be a space for Patriots players, fans, and folks adjacent to the team to talk about what matters to them. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and over the last few weeks, Dietrich Wise Jr. has been posting about the importance of taking care of your mental health. On this episode, he'll be joining me to talk about his mental health journey during the pandemic and as an athlete. But before we get into this interview, I just want to be clear that Dietrich and I are not mental health professionals. We are just two people talking about their personal experiences. If you or someone you know is struggling with their mental health, please seek professional help. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 800-273-8255. Now, my conversation with Dietrich Wise Jr. Hello, Dietrich. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, too. Thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course, always. You're always welcome. So, as you know, I don't need to tell you, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it seems like it's something that is very important to you. You've been posting a lot about it on social media. So, do you mind just starting by telling me, you know, why this is something that you're so passionate about and, like, why you speak up about it so often?
Most definitely. Well, I guess the reason that I like to bring it to people's attention, because I feel like it's one of those things that go unnoticed in a lot of people's lives, and we don't really know about it until it's too late. And it doesn't matter really what culture it is. It can be all walks of life. Everybody has or has known somebody who has gone through some form of a mental illness. Mm-hmm. I know it's really big in the sports world because I'm a part of it. So that's kind of the world that I'm involved in a lot. And I know that definitely in college, I know people who have gone through mental illnesses but can't really tell nobody or can't really get their proper help because it's deemed as them being soft or mm-hmm. them just, you know, whatever the stigma that has been thrown on them or about how they feel is, which I feel is detrimental, but has definitely made them feel unheard or unwanted. And they kind of just keep going through life, pushing through it or whatever, or living with it or coping with it. But I feel like somehow, some way, it definitely comes out, and whether they break down or whether the worst happens. So that's kind of why I like to talk about it and just kind of bring people aware to it and let people know that there are people out there who have gone through the same thing and they can just talk to somebody.
And I think, you know, over the last year in particular, like everything that we all went through collectively, like, you know, being in quarantine, being isolated, the anxiety, like even people who, you know, maybe mental health issues aren't in their day to day usually, I feel like it was affecting everybody and everybody was kind of dealing with it. Can you kind of speak to that a little bit? Like, how did you personally kind of deal with the last year with everything that came with all of the uncertainty and all of that?
Well, you know, I guess the things that happened last year, I feel like I had a good really support system around me, and we all made sure everybody was okay, just talked to people, really, and not so much interview-style talking, just regular talking, because I feel like once someone feels comfortable, unless they just like to share their deepest, darkest secrets with strangers, they like to open up, and once they've come, they open up easily and they just talk to you. So like, let's say it was just me and you and we were just talking over the kitchen table or outside or on a couch, whatever, we were just chit-chatting. The more we feel comfortable in our little exchange, the more things come out, whether it's not the first day, the second day, whatever, but things would happen that person that you're talking to would be able to support you or at least be that ear that mm-hmm. you need.
And I think too, with that, you know, being not physically with a lot of that support system, like, I don't know, for me, I know I find it really, really hard if I am struggling to ask for help, to be like, okay, I'm not doing well right now, and I need someone. Yes. Like, and it's hard when you're not with people, but I think over the last year you didn't really have a choice but to be like, check in, you know, you want your friends to check in on you, but being like, hey, I need you. And, you know, you touched on this at the beginning, and I want to go back to this because I think this is, like, the meat of the conversation. But I think it's, like, an archaic perception of athletes that you have, like, if you talk about struggling mentally Which I think is so interesting because athletes often talk about the mental side of the game and how important it is to be mentally strong and like all of these things when you're competing. But to talk about your mental health is quote unquote weak, which is just like, it's baffling to me. But, you know, in the past few years, you had people like Kevin Love talking about having a panic attack or Michael Phelps talking about what he's gone through. So how has this perception changed in your mind, and like how much further do we need to go?
Well, to answer that question, I'm going to go back to what you said, how you said it's hard to even tell somebody, hey, I need help, or hey, I want to talk to somebody. Just because I don't know how other people grew up, but I know how, I guess, I perceive things and how I think. And I know, like, I guess getting to that level of telling yourself, like, man, like, is this what it is? Like, no, I'm good. Like, it's whatever. Like, I'm gonna get through it, and then you continue to, I guess, try to push through it, which it makes you feel like you're strong enough to push through it. But I getting to that level of understanding yourself first, mm-hmm. that I feel like is a very big thing. Definitely in the athlete world, being able to be like, okay, like, I'm not okay, or what I'm going through at home is really heavy on me, and it's hard for me to stay present at work or stay present here. And if you don't have an outlet, it's kind of like water in a bottle. If water keeps filling up and there's no way to release it, it's going to break some form of fashion, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like we're, as a collective whole, which means as a world, I feel like people are understanding that a little bit more, being able to, okay, talk to somebody before it gets detrimental. Talk to somebody before I find a way compensate mm-hmm. For how I'm feeling with some form of release, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like we're moving in the right direction. But we're moving in the right direction.
When you see guys like, you know, like I mentioned Kevin Love, because I just remember the essay that he wrote about having a panic attack in the middle of a game. When you see things like that, how does that make you feel as a fellow professional athlete to see someone? I mean, that's a huge thing to do with this kind of platform.
It just lets me know that everybody's human. Mm-hmm. It lets me know that these, even though they're put on pedestals, they're just like you and I. And that's what makes them, not saying they're, what they went through makes them likable, but that's what makes them more likable. Like, wow, like, that person has the ability to have everything they want in the world, whatever it is, but they chose today to talk about something that is very intimate and personal with them, you know? Mm-hmm. And it makes them more relatable. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I know a while back, Dak Prescott talked about a few things, and there's a few people who, in my opinion, handled his situation incorrectly. I feel like they shouldn't have said what they said. Mm-hmm. But other people stepped in and was like, no, I feel them. Like, I understand that, you know what I'm saying? And those who were understanding and agreeable were definitely, I guess, in the right there, in my opinion.
As soon as you mentioned that, like, the anger that just swelled up from remembering what the conversation, what sparked, you know, the negative, which I need to take a breath because it made me so mad. But I think, you know, like you said, there were, for every comment that was awful, unimaginable that someone could think like that, was just, you know, there were so many people that it affected. I was really, really affected by that. I wasn't alone in having that reaction. That it was so brave to do what Dak did, to talk about what him and his family went through. And I think it touches more people than a lot of people might realize. The outpouring, the positive outpouring on social media, because that's where we see people talking the most. You know, that gave me a little hope that people, when the comments were made about the situation came out, like the outcry was immediate and like struck it down immediately. So that gave me a little bit of hope. But to be able to talk about, you risk that kind of reaction though whenever you talk about mental health in sports, like, it, so that shows you that like there's still ways to go, even if progress has been made, which is unfortunate that you can't talk about these things like a human being. And, you know, I think with the, I mean, you've played in Super Bowls. You've had millions of people. You personally have millions of people watching you like every week, you know. And now with social media, you can have people in your mentions being like, you suck. And like, you can see it directly. And it's like, you know, if we get one negative comment on the podcast, that stews with me for like weeks. I'm so affected by it. So, you know, with so many eyes on you, with so many people just shouting their opinions at you, I'm sure it can get overwhelming during the season. So how do you take care of yourself personally during a season mentally?
It's a good question. That's something that I am still working on personally, still working on it, getting better with it. Being able to be resilient is one of the words. And I guess having the mindset of not really caring what people think about me or say about me in that sense, you know, having so much self-confidence and self-love that if someone throws a rock, it's not going to ruin my day, you know?
I love that.
And that's kind of how I've built myself and molded myself since I've been in the league. Definitely since the last 3 years. That's kind of because it's easy to go like to hear mention, but oh, you're the best. You know, you want to heart that five times, like, oh, thanks, I appreciate that, you know. But then, like, yeah, someone's us who people like, yeah, you're trash, and you'd be like, all right, and then you hear another one, you're trash, and then you kind of like, it doesn't like you may not think it affects you, but you hear that because no one wants to be told that they are not good at something in a negative way, you know what I'm saying? So, but having, like I said in the first time, having just that moxie about you, that self-confidence and that self-love that you just don't really care what people say about you. So that's kind of how I'm moving in a sense.
And I think too, it's like a dehumanization almost. Like they don't think that like Dietrich himself is reading what like, you know, Twitter bot 7, 8, 4, 5, 2 has to say. So it's like, you know, every time I make a typo in an article, at Dietrich isn't like, you suck, Angelique. Like it's like all of any mistake that, you know, a professional athlete makes, it's on a much larger scale. And it's like everybody makes a mistake. And I think people forget the humanity and how much that can impact, you know.
You're so right. And like back to the worlds, like let's just, we already know big world, but let's just hit like small world. So like, I feel like everybody is their own world, you know? And when people come into your world and give flowers, it's great. But when people come into your world and they're throwing bombs and everything, that's something that kind of like shakes you up a little bit. So like, and then, so also dealing with like cultures as well, from cultures, like what's going on now overseas, like if there's somebody who's physically affected about that and they're playing in the league or they're playing somewhere in sports, that's hard for them to, because that's their family. So now they're going through that, you know? Or like, I know in people in like in the black culture, or who live in, I guess, tough communities, who are, you know what I'm saying, always with high violence or high abuse by cops or whatever it is, that can also play an effect on your mental and your psyche. And now that we're taking one more step to the social world, we're all living in this social media world. So like, whether you're like a teenage girl and you're posting a picture on Instagram, or whether you're like a guy trying to do body sculpting and you're posting your picture and then somebody throws in a little dart in there, like that can mess with your psyche. So it's a lot of different forms of the mental health and a lot of the different forms of things that people go through that I believe that if they just had a wonderful support system around them, it could definitely help alleviate some of that stress that they go through on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a huge difference. And you talked about this, you know, in the first question I asked, but I want to kind of circle back on it that, you know, college athletes in particular have, it can be a real, like really, really difficult for them to talk about these kinds of things. And I think, you know, when you are younger, you know, your sport can be your world. So like, God forbid someone has an injury and they're out for the season, like it could feel like your world is crashing around you. And like sometimes it could change your future. You know what I mean? So what kind of advice do you have for younger athletes or for athletes in college that might be struggling? I mean, to balance all of the things that they need to do, the pressure, all of the factors that kind of can be like a ticking time bomb almost.
That's a very good question, because that's something that I guess I was personally going through in college. I suffered a lot of injuries, and it was to the point which I was like, you know, screw this, I'm about to go be a teacher and just go do that. But I said it, and I think people kind of like laughed and joked at me, but then there's a lot of people who heard that and kind of like saw through that, and including my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, she kind of heard that too. And we got like people who heard that, we kind of just talked and kind of brought it up and kind of just spoke about it. And I believe that conversation, those series of different conversations that I had kind of like helped me get my mind back. And what I would tell to people who have gone through big injuries, gone through things in life that they just seem like, I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I don't see nothing positive coming out of this. I'll tell them just stop, just for like a few seconds. Just stop for a little bit and take some deep breaths. And the reason I say that is because I like to say when you take deep breaths, that just helps your body to relax. Scientifically, it releases all these positive hormones and stuff like that. But right now on the surface, it helps you relax. And then we all have somebody, if not find somebody who you can talk to that's not going to use what you say back against you. So find a safe space to talk, to vent, to let out, so you can hear yourself and they can hear you as well. And then remember whatever you started, why you started. So if it's in sports, if it's law school, if it's medical school, if it's whatever your journey is, remember why you started. And I would say before you start, remember, tell yourself what the end goal is, because when you know why you're doing what you're doing, it helps you through those tough times. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I wanted to play in the league, but I know I had bigger goals beyond that. So I knew if I just quit right there, all the lessons that I learned beyond that, I would have never achieved that. So I realized like, yeah, you're right, I can't stop, because I have either people counting on me or I have my future self counting on me. Mm-hmm. So like, I want to one day be 55 years old and go into a time capsule and be like, just shake DJ Wise at 25, like, hey, thank you for never giving up, because what you did today helped me now, and I'm 55, I'm a 55 year old you, and I want to say thank you. So like, I just want to keep working hard so I can congratulate me now, but 50 years from now, you know?
That's great, like that. That's great. So I know we've talked a little bit about both of these things, but, you know, like, regardless if you're diagnosed with like a mental health condition, or, you know, I think everyone kind of goes through some sort of stressor at some point in their life, whether it's like a life event or, you know, like grieving or stress or things like that. So what ways do you check in on the people that you love that maybe are going through something?
I always let them know that I'm here for them. And if anything that they need, I'm always here to help. I never like to pry in people's business, but I always just let them know, if you feel safe and comfortable enough to come talk to me, I'm here. And I leave it like that.
And I think that, you know, it's so simple to do, but I think when you leave the door like cracked open a little bit, people will walk through a lot more than you might think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really because I mean, like we were talking about earlier, asking for help can be the hardest part sometimes. So to know that someone is there and willing if you need it can be a huge relief.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I thought it was important to end kind of a heavy conversation on something positive, because I think finding things to be grateful for can often help our mental health more than we.
That is true.
Yeah, more than we realize. So, what is something that made you happy this week, that made you smile, that made you laugh? What's something that just made you happy this week?
You know, I really like spending time with my teammates. I'm not gonna lie. There is so many personalities on the team, and like at any given moment, they just come out. So like for me, it's working out. Like when I work out, I don't know, I like having fun. Like, yeah, I can have known you for an hour. You're gonna see me. So you know, like, and I'm gonna let you know, like, you can be yourself around me and all that kind of stuff. But every time we work, like now that we're with the, now that we're working out, code compliant with all the rules, you know what I'm saying, together, there's when music is being played, everybody, like, no matter what music, no matter what genre it is, pop, rock, rap, country, blues, whatever it is, it brings out different people, and like we just dance to it, vibe to it, laugh to it, rap to it, and it's just, it's pretty funny. I like it. And then it is, you know, as anything that happens, and then, oh, before that, we're just chit-chatting, talking. That's cool. These are some cool guys we have right here. So I mean, and it's never like a dull moment with my teammates. So even if we're working out, and somebody's just like really exhausted, and they just blurt out a comment, and it's kind of funny, but we're all too tired to laugh. We just circle back around and laugh at that moment real fast. So it's pretty good.
So it sounds like a great mood booster then.
Yeah, definitely. Just being around each other is always good. Yeah.
Great. Well, Dietrich, I cannot thank you enough for being here today. For those of you listening, if you want to check out all Dietrich is about on Instagram, you can follow him at Dietrich. He claimed the handle. It's all his.
That is my name.
Thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. I always have a great time on these shows. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Oh, before we go, I want to give you a chance to plug Wise Up, because I know that's important.
Most definitely. All right. So first of all, to everybody out there listening, always better yourself and wise up. Our slogan is the more you know, the better you live. And what we like to do is we always create events and programs that inspire people and educate people in a positive way. And we do multiple things in the community, Boys and Girls Club, and et cetera. But we have a lot of things on our website, www.wiseupdynamics.com or dietrichwise.com if you just want to buy merchandise. And like I leave all my friends with, and my fans, have a wonderful day and wise up.
Hey, it's Angelique of patriots.com. Like what you heard? Then hit the subscribe button and leave us a comment or a review. Be sure to check out patriots.com for other great shows and content. See you later.